Didn't we have a wonderful Christmas season together? Amen. It was just beautiful. If you were here for the Christmas season, especially the Christmas Eve service, it was just beautiful. And we were united as one body, and it was just great. And I didn't get to hear the stories, but I'm sure some of you that still have younger ones at home maybe had some projects to do after that beautiful Christmas Eve service, maybe a project that took you till 2 a.m. to complete. You know, the kind that comes with a box that says, some assembly required. Say those three words with me, please. Some assembly required. James Dobson, the famous psychiatrist, in one of his earlier books on parenting, wrote about buying a swing set for his children. I read his words. I once ordered a swing set for my children identical to a shiny display model I'd seen at the store. What arrived, however, was a long box with big letters printed on it stating some assembly required. The box contained roughly 6,000 pipes, 28,000 bolts, 28,000 screws, and a set of instructions that would have befuddled Albert Einstein. For the next 2 days, I sweated to assemble bent parts, missing parts, and parts from a 1948 Ford thrown in just to confuse me. Finally, the wobbly construction stood upright. I got another shock when I read the final line printed on the back of the instructions. Please retighten all the bolts on this apparatus every 2 weeks to ensure safety and durability. I now had to devote every other Saturday to this tin monster, or it would gobble up my children. However, as we all know, after such effort and patience, the result of some assembly required is usually a very nice result. A beautiful new swing set, a new bike, a new piece of furniture, a 35,000 character Star Wars Lego action set, or a new church where Christ is glorified and lives are changed. Yes, I said, even a church has some assembly required. For a new church where Christ is glorified and lives are changed. And today, as the first Sunday in 2016, we of the former First Baptists of Gaithersburg and Streams of Hope churches begin assembled as a new church, a unified church for Jesus Christ. Amen? And it's not that at both previous churches, Christ wasn't glorified. He was. The lives weren't changed. They were. And that they weren't fun. They were. And don't let that new fun thing take that away. This is where it's going to have new united fun together. But today we begin a new church, and we want to begin the new church with a new series entitled New. You'll hear from me, you'll hear from Pastor Eddie, you'll hear from Pastor Paula as we share some different parts of this series together. But today I want to begin with the counsel, with the understanding that this new church, this new work, this new staff and organization and leadership and constitution and bylaws and policies and procedures all have in big, bold letters written across it, some assembly required. The new church that God is assembling here will challenge us all to be prayerful, to be patient, to be understanding, to be forgiving, to be flexible, to be mature, to be open, to let the Spirit of God, in His time and in His way, assemble and build His new church, His new vision, and His new ministry for His new church here. In Matthew 16:16-18, in affirming Peter's statement as to who Jesus was, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus said, "I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." I will build my church. Like a potter at the wheel, out of two great churches and histories and ministries and staff and faithful and gifted Christians, God is creatively merging, forming them into something new. And God's forming new things is nothing new. It's all through God's plan of history. In God's story, in His Word, we see numerous times when God's people were led to be open to new ways as God did His work of some assembly required. Let me just note a few. In Exodus 18:13-26, we find Moses, who is the head judge over all the people of Israel. It says, the next day Moses took a seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. Morning till evening, these people were around, and Moses had to listen to any and every request and thing that had to come up in the kingdom, and he had to deal with that day in and day out. And Moses' father-in-law was observing this. And he started to hear God speak to him that there might be some assembly required to change this, to help the leadership, Moses, and to help the people from being worn out, because they stood around him morning till evening. In that group, it would not have helped even if they had a red ticket number machine in the corner. That line was unbearable. Just think of being in the MVA for days and days. I know, it's been long enough anyway. It's torture. And they stood before him morning to evening. So Moses' father-in-law counseled him to do something new. He says, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you sit as judge while all these people stand around you morning till evening? What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. Select capable people who fear God, trustworthy people who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people, and have them bring the more difficult cases to you. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God commands, you'll be able to stand the strain, and all the people will go home satisfied. And Moses was open to this new thing before him. And he did everything that he said. And it says he chose capable people and had divided them up. And for the sake of God's leaders and God's people, some new assembly was required. A new organization was formed. New leadership was structured. And the new leaders were godly, trustworthy, and capable. And they worked with Moses in serving God's people. And they shared the load and caring for God's people. And when they enacted that some assembly required, what happened? It says the people went home satisfied. So God's leadership and God's people were better served by being open to this new thing of some assembly required. You know, that goes also into the New Testament, into God's new church. Just a little bit on that. In Romans 12, 4-8, speaking of all believers, he says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the gift, the grace given us. And we're supposed to do it cheerfully and diligently, and we're supposed to share our gifts with God. Every one of you here have at least one gift, if not more, that when you invited Christ into your heart, God has gifted you, enabled you, empowered you, or he wants to use something in your life to grant a gift to his body, to his work here. We need you to do that. You hear, we need 100 people within a quarter. Just for children. This is, if God's going to have a really powerful church here, everybody must be seeking and praying about what your part, your gift, is to be in this body and how you're supposed to serve. Pray about that. Look, listen, look for opportunities. Step up and be a part of that. He also moves into another section in Ephesians where he says that God also gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, and their purposes and all the things for that. And we're supposed to work together as those in leadership, as the whole body, joined together, builds each other up in love as each part does its work. So all of us have calls and situations. God also laid aside some really specific offices and leadership positions in the church, even beyond staffing and beyond volunteers. He mentions deacons and elders. It's a volunteer, but it's a higher level of leadership and servanthood. Deacons are the first you hear about in some assembly required in Acts 6:2. The early church was going through a time where there were more widows in need of food that were being overlooked, and the other church leaders had their functions being held back because they needed people to do other things. I'll give you an example. In my last church, a lady came in and she loved to do gardens. She said, I want to do flowers all out front. I said, okay, that's fine. Let's do flowers out front. Who's going to water it? I'll find somebody. Okay, we put it in the bulletin. We put the word out. She planted all the flowers. And guess who was watering those flowers? The pastor. Needless to say, after that year, there were no more flowers. There's no one to water those flowers because of that. We need everybody to do their part. You don't want to take away from someone else's effectiveness and such. And deacons are ones who serve and minister to others. They do real hands-on ministries and needs within the body of Christ. And we have two kinds of deacons, really one within both churches as we come together. They all are called by God to serve the body and have ministries that are serving. And we thank God for them. Also, it talks about elders, a different term to maybe some at First Baptist, but a very biblical term. In Paul's first letter to First Timothy, we read that some assembly required was with the elders. And they were given to be a special emphasis on prayer and support and assisting the pastors in leadership and spiritual oversight and direction and protection of the church. And he gives great qualifications for pastors, deacons, and elders, people that should have maturity, integrity, faithful to their spouse, if they're married, a balanced temperament, hardworking, thoughtful, orderly, full of good deed, hospitable, faithful at work, spiritual leaders in their family, capable of interpretation and teaching God's words, don't abuse substances, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, gentle, kind, and not a new believer. I guess none of us qualified. No, those are wonderful qualifications. But I want you to note, in all the positions, whether it's a staff or a leader or in any level, no position in Christ's church is for anyone striving for control or power. Did you notice that? Jesus said in Mark 10, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. And listen to this. For even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's God's way of doing church. When you are doing some assembly-required project, it's very important that you have the right parts in place. And in Christ's church, it's very important that you be a part of it and the right people are in the right places. Are you getting the challenge? The new church that God is assembling here will challenge us all to be prayerful, to be patient, to be understanding, to be forgiving, to be flexible, to be mature, to be open to the Spirit of God as God, in His timing, assembles and builds His new church and vision and ministry in His church. God's some assembly required is the most serious work on earth. And God calls us, His church, to be serious in our serving. Amen? I'd like to share a little illustration. I know some of you follow sports, and I know you're all excited because the Redskins are playing again today at 1 o'clock. I promise to have you out by 3. Anyway, But it was in July of 1961, the 38 members of the Green Bay Packers football team were gathered around on their first day of training camp. And they had just lost even a bid to beat the last team to win the championship. So they got a new coach named Vince Lombardi. Lombardi walked into training camp in the summer of 1961. He picked up a football in his right hand. And he said to those seasoned gridiron warriors, gentlemen, this is a football. And they looked at him. You will learn how to take this football, and the goal is to take this football and go from one end of the field to the other. You will learn how to throw it and catch it. You will learn how to block. You will learn how to center it. You will learn how to protect the quarterback. You will learn all these things. And they looked at him with these blank stares in their faces. And he made them go through the fundamentals and work them and work them and work them and work them. As much as they thought they knew, he worked them harder. And in 6 months, they had won the NFL championship. They won. My fellow followers of Jesus Christ, this is the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus is building his church. Jesus is the head of his church, and he has honored us by allowing us to be on his team. Jesus wants his church to go and make disciples. And we need to understand that in this going and growing and becoming process, we have to be patient because some assembly is required. As God's people throughout biblical history, God is calling us, please, to be prayerful, to be patient, to be understanding, to be forgiving, to be flexible, to be mature, to be open to the Spirit of God as God in his timing assembles and builds his new church and vision and ministry as a new church. We'll share right now in the Lord's Supper. You know what makes us one? Jesus. Jesus who died and rose for you and me. When we take of this bread and we drink of this cup, we are celebrating what God did for us, how God loved us all so much, he gave Jesus to die for every one of us. And when we receive him as our Savior, we are born anew into one new family. And as you celebrate this, I want you to, as you eat that bread, say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in this bread for me. And Lord, help me use what you've done to bring about your some assembly required new church, the unity and the oneness that needs to be here, that you want here, that you want to assemble here. And as I drink this cup, it symbolizes the cleansing blood of Jesus. Lord, I know all these people, their sins have been forgiven as well. And we take this together as the body of Christ, now and eternally. Lord, make us one. Make us united. We pray that we will do our best to be a part of, Lord, that some assembly required so that what will be the end result will be a church that, Lord, yes, glorifies you, worships you, reaches people in your name, and just is a wonderful testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Think of that, for God is doing now something new. All God's people say, amen.